Discerning in community. Let's go there. Are you ready to discern in community? And what I mean from that is we can just sit, go through the motions, listen, you know, it's all good. That we can go and watch the Seahawks win this afternoon. That'll all be good. Or are you ready to engage with Scripture? When we're talking about discerning, it does no good just to talk about discerning. We actually have to be discerning. And so let's just invite the Holy Spirit to give us a posture of listening this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you that you desire to speak to us. Thank you that you have created paths to get our attention, that you've given us Scripture and other things, and that part of what you want to do is speak to us in our community of believers together. And so, as individual members, we invite you to speak to us, because when you speak to us, you do speak to our community. And so, our desire is to have that posture of attentive openness, that we would not miss what you have for us this morning. Amen. So we're in our final study of what it means to be discerning. Discerning is our second of the four elements that we have of what it means to be a wholehearted follower of Christ. We've spent 3 weeks already on these four elements, and I want to remind you of what I said last week, that all four elements are kind of always in play. So it's a little bit like juggling. You take the different elements and you pay attention to all of them at the same time. And so we started by saying that we will discern through Scripture. That's the first ball that we started juggling, which means we're paying attention to Scripture and recognizing what the Spirit of God would say to us through the Scripture. So there's what the Scripture teaches, which is for all of us, but what he's saying to you as an individual is different. So what does he want to say to you? That's discerning through Scripture. Second, we talked about recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. We do come to recognize his voice. His voice is always consistent with the fruit of the Spirit. It's loving. It's peace. He may call us out on things. He may encourage us or admonish us, but there's always this element that it is of God, and it's peace and it's love, and he's drawing us into the fellowship with the Father, our relationship with the Father. And so we talked last week about discerning in the subtle circumstances of life. Those are the times where you're walking down the street or you're in the grocery store and something catches your attention and you go, okay, God, is this from you? How do we discern if that is from the Holy Spirit? And how do we learn to pay attention to those moments, to slow down and actually allow him to speak to us? So those are the three things we've talked about. And today we want to talk about discerning in community. But just as discerning has these multiple, you know, four different elements to it, so too community has a number of different settings. And so what I want to do is help you to focus on the specific setting of community that we're talking about this morning. What we're doing is we're actually connecting the second banner, discerning, with the fourth banner in community. Okay, and in community has a number of elements, and we're going to target one of those elements of in community and make these two connections this morning. I'll give you an example. The Scriptures teach us to confess our sins to one another, and that confession is a significant act of healing and restoration for ourselves, okay? But when I'm struggling with sin or temptation, I don't write about it in the ACE so the whole church gets to hear about it. I don't talk about it on Sunday morning. There are appropriate places for vulnerable confession of sin and of temptation, and Sunday morning is not the appropriate place for that. That's a different setting of community. So too, there are times when, as a large church, as the whole church, we want to discern something together. And so as a whole community, we may come together and talk about things and pray together. And as a congregation, We can make decisions discerning in prayer together. We're not talking about that this morning either. So there's the small intimate group, we're not talking about that, and then there's the whole congregation, and we're not talking about that. What we're talking about this morning specifically is the community of people that you walk with week by week. It's the people that you spend time with. It's a subset of the larger church, the people that you might have into your home on a fairly regular basis. It's the people that you would consider in your circle of friends. These are the people you actually share meals together. Most churches would call them a home group or a life group. It doesn't have to be that formal, but that gives you the setting. Because we all have people in our lives that we spend time with that are actually shaping us, just by the fact that we are choosing to spend time together. The people that we spend time with are shaping us. And these are the people that we want to trust. We want to be in our discerning community. But in order for this to work, we have to choose those people carefully. We have to choose wisely. So the first thing I want to talk about is choosing your community. You could say the first thing you want to discern is you have to discern your community. I wish I could change that, but the slide's already up, so we're going to live with what's up there. But Psalm 1 says this: "Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law they meditate day and night." Notice that these are the rhythms of life. You're standing with people, you're sitting, you're having meals together, you're talking. Blessed is the one who chooses these people carefully, basically. And so stop for a moment and just think about, who are you spending time with? Who do you listen to during the course of the week? Who do you sit with over the table, over meals together, and just share life with? Who are these people? Because they are shaping you. John Mark Comer, in his book Practicing the Way, he says that we are all being formed by people, whether we realize it or not. That spiritual formation is not optional. And what he says, what he means by that is that you are already being formed. It's not like, oh, spiritual formation, that's a part of the Christian life that I don't want to do that piece. I'm just going to do the Bible. It doesn't work like that. It's not optional. You are being spiritually formed. You are right now in a program of spiritual formation, whether you realize it or not. He says you are either by the people around you being conformed to the patterns of this world, which is spiritual formation, or you are being transformed by the renewal of your mind. You'll recognize that straight out of Romans chapter 12. But what this happens by virtue of the community of people that we walk with and sit with and talk with during the course of the day. Proverbs 13 says this: "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Now, I've talked a lot over the last months about the importance of being friends with neighbors. And not just friends, but good friends, legitimate friends. That we would do what Jesus did. Under following, we talked about being with Jesus' friends, being like Jesus and how he loved people, and doing what Jesus did. One of the things Jesus did was he spent a lot of time with his neighbors. They had meals together. They went into the homes. They shared time together. But one of the things he did not do was he did not allow them to spiritually form him. He was the salt. He was the light. He was the one that brought formation into the meals. And so, yes, be friends with your neighbors, absolutely. But be the salt. Be the one that's doing the forming, not the one that's receiving the forming in those settings. When you look at your primary community of friends, the people that you're hanging around with most of the time, these are the ones that are shaping you. The question is, are they shaping you to follow Jesus, or are they shaping you to be conformed to the image of this world? Are they shaping you to be transformed and new mind to take on the mind of Christ? Now, this may sound really obvious, but when we come to discerning in community, it's really important that we pay attention to the community that we are discerning in. Does that make sense? And so the first thing we have to discern is our community. Who are the people that are shaping your thinking? Take a minute to think about who you spent time with this week and to ask yourself, are you the salt? Are you the light bringing the formation? Or are these people themselves salt and light? Do they speak Scripture into your life? Who is shaping you? The most sinister community for the spiritual formation would be a group that calls itself the Christian community, but who has been conformed to the image of this world. Does that make sense? They call themselves Christians, but actually they're formed to the image of the world. So the identity is Christian, but we share meals with those who enjoy spending wealth on themselves. And because we all do it, it must be okay. We identify as Christians, but we have no time for mercy. We call ourselves Christians, but we're conformed to the image of this world, and we do it together. And so we actually enable conformity to this world while maintaining that we are women and men of Christ. This is called groupthink. You're familiar with that. If we all think the same way, it must be right. Groupthink is not the mind of Christ. And so we each have to discern by Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, the things that we've taught about. How do we discern? We, by Scripture and by the Holy Spirit, who is forming who? Discerning your community wisely. That's the first step. The second step of discernment in community is to actually talk with your community about what's going on in your life. What is it that you're trying to discern? And so this is where you trust people and you will share with them what's going on. And you trust them. You're going to go deep. You're actually going to share the things that are on your mind. Again, you don't do this with everybody, but with your community, these are natural conversations. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." So we need people to speak into us. Have you ever experienced that the way of the fool is right in his own eyes? Can you think of a time in your life where your eyes could only see what you wanted to see? Because our eyes are not impartial. They see what seems right. They see what we want to see. And sometimes we need people, wise people, to bring advice. I can remember I was out of high school. I worked for a year before going to Bible school, and it was time for me to buy my first car. And there was the car I wanted, and there was the car I could afford. Very different. The car that I wanted belonged to a neighbor. It was way out of my league, and it was not for sale. Okay? Just to be clear. But I had this hope that maybe Jesus would tell my neighbor to sell me that car at a price that I could afford. Okay? Made sense to me. That was a car that made a statement, and I loved the statement that that car made. It was a Dodge Challenger. It was that classic orange with the black hardtop. I still love my car, that car, not my car. Now, my dad was much more realistic than I was. And he had a line on a brown four-door Ford Maverick. Can you get it? Not the statement I wanted to make going to Bible school. And I had to make a decision. This Maverick had low miles and it had a big trunk. Dad pointed out that a big trunk would really be helpful because I was going to move to Bible school in Edmonton and I needed to pack up all my stuff. But a big trunk was not at the top of my list of things I wanted in a car. The Challenger belonged to the neighbor that lived right across the street from me. And I saw it every day. Going to school, wherever I was going, I saw that car every day. It was right there. And I remember coming to this point where I had to make the decision of, am I going to buy this brown Ford Maverick? And I felt internally that by settling for the Maverick, I was denying God the opportunity to give me the desire of my heart. So that's what's going on inside me. Again, I read from Proverbs, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. We do this. Now, it seems really silly in hindsight, but is that not the nature of a fool? Not to see the obvious things that are right in front of us? Now, I did listen to Dad's advice. I bought the Maverick, and I even managed to get a date in Bible school. So how about that? I'm not sure it helped, but that's where I met Melissa, and she didn't discount me because of the Maverick, so I'm thankful for that. My point is simply this. Sometimes we need people to speak to us about what's going on, to tell us the things that we need to hear that are so obvious, but we don't see them. The eyes of the fool see what they want to see. We need a set of eyes that aren't blinded but by the desires of our heart. But in order to get that advice, we actually have to tell our story. I actually had to wrestle with the fact that I had the eyes of a fool at that time, didn't I? And I had to listen to advice. Now, there was a part of me that absolutely knew that I was living the fool. I wouldn't have called it that then, but I knew this was unrealistic. I knew, part of me knew, that I was only seeing what I wanted to see and I needed to let it go. But I needed someone to help me see that. We need people to speak into our lives because the voice of the fool is so seductive. In fact, I don't know if you noticed it in my story, but the voice of the fool will even try to convince you that this is God's will. God wanted me to have that car, is what the voice was saying. And to deny God, don't want to do that, do we? Yeah, if we only have faith, God will give us the desires of our hearts. Yeah, not quite in that way. But to have good friends that we could actually say this out loud to, you know, imagine me, I was probably 18 years old, telling someone, here's my choice. I've got this Maverick that I can afford or my neighbor's car that's not for sale. Any of my friends could have told me, Norm, listen, let's just deal with reality here. But if I'm not willing to share the vulnerability of having the mind of a fool, it can't happen. And so we need to be able to enter into conversations of wisdom with our friends. So number one, we discern the right community. We choose the right community. And then we discern wisdom with our community, okay? But notice we have not yet discerned the Spirit in community. That's different. We haven't even touched that yet. So far, this is about having a trusted set of eyes that shares our allegiance to Christ, that can help us see what's right in front of us. Discerning in community is different. Discerning in community is discerning the leading of the Holy Spirit that goes beyond what is good advice. It goes beyond what is wisdom. Let's say you're making a career decision. You have a choice in front of you that's going to affect you for years, if not decades. And you have a lot of options in front of you. None of them is the hope of the fool, okay? None of them is the Dodge Challenger, okay? They're all good options for you. They're legitimate options. There are many paths you can take, but at some point you have to make a decision. And the question that you're struggling with is whether the Holy Spirit has a specific choice for you, a specific career path for you. Does the Holy Spirit have something He wants to say to you in this pivotal moment of your life? And if so, how do you know and how do you discern that? And so you've started with the basics. You've talked it over with your trusted community. You have a trusted community, the people that obey Scripture, they want the best for you. And in discernment, nobody has said, hey, Norm, that's a Dodge Challenger for you. That'll never happen. Give that one up. They're not saying that. What they're saying is you have all these legitimate options before you. And the truth is, in the wisdom of Scripture, we are free to choose any option that has integrity. Let me remind you of Colossians 3. Paul says this twice, verse 17 and then verse 23. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so your community says, man, you got all these options. Isn't that great? And the Scripture says you are free to choose any of these options as long as your choice is to honor the Lord. Good advice straight out of the Scripture. And that's when you say, well, that's the problem. I don't know if my choice is actually honoring the Lord or if it's actually doing what I want to do, because sometimes they overlap. How do I discern that? There's a part of me that wants to choose based on the potential for income, the wealth. There's a part of me that wants to choose based on being conformed to the pattern of this world, but there's another part of me that wants to choose what has been transformed by the mind of Christ and to serve Christ and to honor Him in everything I do. So now we go, okay, now we have something where we need to discern in community. And we have to juggle all the balls, okay? So we've discerned through Scripture. Scripture says, whatever you do, let it be to honor the Lord. Are there careers out there that don't honor the Lord? Absolutely. Have we eliminated those? Yes. Okay, so the field is wide open. We've discerned Scripture. We've discerned circumstances. Something has caught this person's attention that says, for some reason, I don't feel free about this. And so there has been that tweak in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit, where the Spirit says, I want you to pay attention to this. Okay, so we've done that piece. And now we're coming together and you're asking your community for help. How do I discern what God has been tweaking in my heart and in my mind? I want to suggest to you six elements of actually discerning in community. To me, these just make sense. It's not a formula. It's not a recipe. It's just these are elements of discernment, and I hope as we go through them together, these will make sense to you. And the first thing is that the person who is asking for help confesses, not their sin, but their struggle. Why is this a hard decision for you? Tell me about what's going on in your mind. Tell me where this bias is, where the temptation is to go to one way or the other. And so we have to actually trust our community with our struggle. We have to be able to trust them with our bias, with our confusion, perhaps with a temptation to conform to this world because we don't want to miss out on what the world has for us. But on the other hand, We have the side that wants to be transformed because we don't want to miss out on what God has for us. And so we start by a confession of the struggle. Second, in prayer, we as a community, we now own that struggle together. We all confess our struggle in this area of our life. None of us are immune to this struggle, are we? Balancing out being conformed to the world and the things that this world has that we feel are great and we don't want to miss them out. And on the other hand, we really want to honor God and we want to do what He's... None of us are immune from that struggle. And so together we're bearing this burden. We're confessing our bias. We confess our group think, our tendency to be conformed to this world. We lay that all before the Lord and say, Lord, this isn't just Norm's issue, this is all of our issue. And so we confess our conformity to the world. We confess our temptation to choose based on our biases. And we lay that before the Lord as a community. Third, we enter into a time of praying prayers of surrender. And I would suggest that we just take time and pray the prayer of Christ in the garden where he said to the Father, not my will, but thine be done. Christ was struggling. Here's what conformity to the world looks like. Walk away from pain and suffering. Here's what being transformed by the scripture and the mind of Christ is to be obedient to the Father. And so not just this one person saying, okay, Norm, we want you to pray, not your will, but my will be done. It's one thing to ask the person to do it, but if we're going to be discerning together, we all have to pray that. How can we speak any word of encouragement or discernment if we are not entering into that same process of confession and of listening? And so we all enter prayers, not my will, but thy will be done, and now the whole community is in the same place. Fourth, I would suggest spending at least 5 minutes in silence at that point. Maybe longer, but at least 5 minutes. And what you're doing is allowing the Lord to respond to your confession of your bias. You're not speaking to the individual yet. You're allowing the Lord to speak to you about your confession, your surrender of your bias. And just allow him to speak to you and say, yeah, thanks for identifying this. Let me encourage you to let this piece go. Let me encourage you to whatever it is that he wants to say to you. But the Lord will speak to you. After a time of listening together, again, I'm thinking this is a small group, maybe 8 or 10 people in a home together. This isn't the entire church. But you'd give each person at that point a chance to share what you experienced in the silence. What did the Lord say to you? Not just what did he say to you for your friend. We'll get to that. But what did he say to you in this community of surrender? We confess our bias. The Lord speaks to us. And then we say, this is what the Lord said to me. This is the part of this that for me, I needed to let go. This is the part of me that I need to deal with, that I need to think about more. And then after everyone has a chance to share, then we ask the person who was asked for this exercise of discernment that after confessing, after listening to the Lord, after listening to the response of the community, then to say, what is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you out of all of this that you're listening to? And Jesus said, his sheep will know his voice when he speaks. So at this point, there comes a time where you just have this sense of, I think I know what the Lord wants me to do. And there's a sense of peace in it. There's a sense of rest in it. That the fruit of the Spirit just fills you with love and joy and peace. And the experience of God resting on you in discernment is a wonderful thing. Now, again, I want to emphasize that this is not like a recipe. You know, you just do this 6 steps, you follow this formula, you automatically come to discernment. This process may have to happen over a number of weeks together. The first time you spend time together over discerning something, you may not get a clear sense of direction. There are times when the Lord will give some direction to say, here's the direction, and yet you have this pause in you that goes, but not yet. That's a hard one. The Lord gives direction, but he doesn't yet give release. So hearing the direction of the Lord is not the same as the timing of the Lord. And while the waiting is hard, and it is hard, you as a community are being formed into the image of Christ. And that's what this prayer is about, discerning how the Spirit wants to work in our lives and as a community being formed into Christ. And so we keep our eyes on formation. We keep our eyes on Spirit. What are the things you want to do inside me? What are the things you want to do inside the person who is asking to enter this process of formation together? So I offer these six things not as a formula, but as a process of the elements of silence, surrender, listening that we would enter into together. Now, I want you to think about these things. And in your own mind, think for a moment how well that describes the process we go through every time we come to the Lord's table. Silence, reflection, confession, conformity to this world or being transformed, and receiving the forgiveness of Christ. The word communion and the word community, as you know, are really closely related. They're built on the same foundation to commune together, to be one together. And so let me just reframe these same things that we're talking about, discerning in community, and put it in the context of the Lord's table for us this morning. The first thing I would say to reframe this just a little bit is that communion is given to the community who has discerned Christ. So it's a community that's committed to be formed by the image of Christ. It's not for a community of people that are conformed to the image of this world. We are called out. And in our being called out, we are invited to share in the bread and in the cup. We have chosen differently. Communion is for the community that shapes you to be like Christ. And I want to pause on this for a second and just give you a chance to think about how you're being formed. What do you bring to the community that helps us all be transformed into the image of Christ? What is there that you bring into this community that might actually be a tendency towards being conformed to the image of this world? What is there that is inconsistent with communion? The second thing is that communion is for the community who actually trust one another, who are open enough with one another to say, I have the eyes of the fool. I can't see my own sin. I need someone to admonish me in love so that we can confess our sins together and pray together. And the scriptures teach us that when we come to the table and if we're harboring something against someone else, it's like, okay, slow down. Let's make sure the community is actually a community of trust before we go through the motions of assuming it's a community of trust by receiving the bread and the cup. To actually say to Jesus, not my will, but your will be done, and then doing something about that, whatever his will is. Communion is for a community of honesty, confession, and trust. And then third, communion is for the community that discerns together the voice of the shepherd. What would you say to us as we confess to one another, as we are honest with one another, as we encourage one another, sometimes we admonish one another, that we would know his voice in that. We would recognize the fruit of his spirit in those words, and that in community we would obey. So as we prepare for the table this morning, I want to remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul, and he warned us to examine ourselves by the standards of communion. Am I being transformed by the mind of Christ? Or, examine yourself, am I conforming to the pattern of this world? Second, the standard of communion, being honest in community. Am I being honest with my community? Am I being open? Am I bringing the mind of Christ into my community? Or am I bringing the world into my community? Be transformed, be honest, and then third, surrender to what the Spirit says to you. Not my will, but your will be done. And so what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Even this morning, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, what is he saying to you this morning where he's tapped you on the shoulder and said, here's what I want you to think about. Here is your confession, if you want to call it that. And it is this confession that stands between you and the table. It is the barrier for you participating in the table. Paul says, do this carefully, examine yourself carefully. There is a barrier. But that by confession, the barrier is removed. It's not just removed because we call ourselves Christians. It's removed by confession. So let's take some time this morning to make our confession, our individual confession. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and when they start playing, if your communion with Christ is honest, okay, you've done that, and if your confession is complete, those two things, then come and eat, come and drink. Corinthians tells us that Jesus took bread and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Examine yourselves, and then when you're ready, when your confession is complete, eat and drink in remembrance of Christ. Father, thank you for answering our prayers. Holy Spirit, thank you for being present with us. Thank you for hearing our confession. Thank you for speaking to us and for the guidance, for the peace that comes from your guidance And we pray, Father, that as we behave in a way, as we respond in a way that's honoring to you, that you would continue to lead us in our lives. You are God's kingdom people. Go in the presence of Christ and the discernment of the Holy Spirit in the community that God has placed you. Amen.